Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Nicky Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the one and only Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been very well, Rob.
Okay, for this edition of the program, we decided we should continue to work our way down the alkaline metals. And a question for you, because you're a man of the world, you've been all over the globe. Have you ever set foot in strontium? It's a small village in the Highlands of Scotland. You ever been there?
I've never been to Scotland, Rob.
Okay. You know where this is leading, though, because you've done your homework on this, haven't you?
Well, yes, and we're talking about strontium, number 38 on the periodic table as we work our way down the alkaline earths. It's, of course, as all of them seem to be, soft, gray, silvery, white, highly reactive, very unstable in air and water, explosive, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Discovered in the village of strontium, Scotland, in 1790. The mineral is called strontianite. It's strontian carbonate, although the main ores are come from strontium sulfate, celestite, which is a pretty famous a mineral collector item. It's very sky blue, therefore celestite.
And how have its uses changed over the years, Mickey, from the time it was first discovered, I believe it was in the 1700s to today? Can you walk us through some of the uses over the years?
Well, the early applications, and this didn't happen until the late 1800s in Germany, was to process sugar beets into sugar. So they used strontium hydroxide, and there were some very big mines of strontianite in Germany, which then gave way to even larger and more productive mines of celestite in England in the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
The metal itself is the 15th most abundant on a planet. Production is dominated by China, Spain, and Mexico. The current applications, they no longer use it to process sugar beets, but it's used for fireworks, the red and fireworks. Mm-hmm. We all love those beautiful fireworks that end up red as they explode.
Mm-hmm.
Alloys of aluminum for casting magnesium. Engines in a BMW use, I think, something on the order 2% strontium with magnesium aluminum alloys. One of the main uses is isotopic tracing, especially in waters, to find sources of waters and contamination.
Mm.
In the past, it's been used as mainly as for cathode ray tubes and televisions, but those have gone by the wayside, although there's still some demand for cathode ray tubes. Ferrite magnets, zinc refinery, phosphors. It's the main treatment for osteoporosis because it's right below calcium in the periodic table, so it can substitute for calcium. All in all, though, three major uses now would be ceramics, glazes, and glass.
One use that you didn't mention, Mickey, and that I found out that was kind of interesting, sometimes used in toothpaste for sensitive teeth. Did you come across that in your research?
Yes, and it's used as to make toothpaste white, so... Mm. And there's other metals that are used to make toothpaste white, specifically calcium, sometimes strontium.
You mentioned some of the main producing regions of the world earlier, Mickey. The United States, at this moment, does not fit on that picture because, in fact, I believe production came to a halt in the U.S. in 1959. Why did the production cease then?
Well, there were deposits found that were more economic in other parts of the world. The U.S. had minor production until 2006, but nothing of real consequence. What really surprised me, you know, one of the fun things that occurs in the show we're doing,
mm-hmm.
I to tell you the truth, Rob, I knew very little about strontium. I had no idea all these myriad of uses. I knew about fireworks and a few other things, isotopic tracing. But it came as a quite surprise to me. There was 405,000 tons produced last year in the world. Now, that's a significant amount of mm-hmm. tonnage. We talk about all these specialty metals, and if you look at it, there is more celestite mined in the world than there is tin and molybdenum. Mm-hmm. And so this is really not a small market.
It's not a small market.
Deposits are scattered all over the world, although China, Spain, and Mexico are essentially the only producers of merit now. These deposits occur in sedimentary lake deposits and seawater deposits, and also in hydrothermal veins. There are many deposits all over the world of celestite, mm-hmm. but the problem is many of them are contaminated with barium and calcium, and that's really problematic for many of the deposits.
Okay, now you mentioned that this indeed is not, it's a pretty a large demand out there on a global scale for strontium. Is the supply out there to meet this demand, Mickey? Is there any?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's deposits known all over the world. They're plentiful. And there is essentially, to my knowledge, no exploration for strontium of any significance anywhere in the world.
Okay, we usually wrap up these interviews, Mickey, focusing on these various specialty metals with a question taking kind of the investing angle here. Is there a way for viewers to invest in the strontium story at all?
I don't think so. I think we've already pretty much covered that. Many deposits dominated by China, Spain, and Mexico. There are minor deposits of past producers mm-hmm. in many countries in the world, and it's just not a commodity that I don't think is on anybody's radar screen. Prices are quite low. The prices I saw vary from $45 to $90 a ton mm-hmm. For celestite, so it's not something that you can sell at a high rate or a high profit.
Not investable, but certainly a very interesting story. Let's wrap it up there, Mickey. I believe the next time we will talk, it'll be a face-to-face conversation at your favorite watering hole in downtown Toronto. Am I right?
That's correct, and we will talk about barium, another important alkaline metal, especially with barite. Mm-hmm. Very high uses in the drilling industry, particularly in the oil and gas drilling industry. So this is a major commodity that at one time was produced extensively in the U.S. and the Chinese usurped, as they often do. And mm-hmm. so anyway, there's some geopolitical implications to the barite industry, and we'll discuss that next time. Mm-hmm. Before we go, Rob, I have to make a correction from our last show. We were talking about working our way down the alkaline earth metals, and I listed the last one as radon, and I had a serious brain lapse there. I should have said radium, which is a radioactive element that decays to radon. So with that correction, we will do barium next time and follow that up with radium, and then we will go on to some other metals in the periodic table.
Okay, sounds good, Mickey. Look forward to it. We'll get together in a couple of weeks from now.
I look forward to it over a beer in our favorite downtown Toronto watering hole.
Okay, right back at you. Thanks very much, Mickey.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.